are back. We are back with another episode of Thrones Be the Game, the Game of Thrones podcast. Back here with Raven, as always.
Good evening.
And my man Scott to the right of me.
What's happening, people?
All right, before we get into the episode, we got a couple of emails. We have three emails from people wanting us to answer some of their questions and our thoughts on Game of Thrones. This one is from Balls Musgrave. Wow, okay. greetings. Wanted to reach out to you all. Love the Thrones of Games podcast. You all give a funny perspective on what's going on with Game of Thrones from, I would guess to say, as we say here in Europe, a more African perspective. I'm an African from Sudan, by the way. That's all in parentheses. Shout out to Sudan, man. Damn, that's what's up. All
right. Thank you for listening.
Balls Musgrave, man. You changed your whole name up, too. I know it's not your original name. It's like probably like Iman Ali or something. But you changed it when you went to Italy or something. I don't know, man. I'm sorry, man. I that wasn't no diss, though. That's me in my mind, though. Sorry. Let me go to your question. but he says, have you all looked and ignored some of the outside keys when it comes to a lot of the players in the game here on Game of Thrones? For instance, with Jaime, do you see Jaime maybe not fulfilling the curse and not going through with it and that being against the Vangeloth curse? And not happening, or do you see anything possibly happen with Jaime where Cersei doesn't get killed at all?
Well, do we know that Jaime is who the prophecy predicted would kill Cersei? Because
it's his younger brother.
Yeah, and that could be Jaime or it could be Tyrion.
See, I got a theory that I think it might end up being Arya with his face on.
Yeah, that could happen.
With Jaime's face on.
That's a good one. I didn't think about that.
Because that'll get it off her list and it fulfills the prophecy, even though it's kind of messed up and jaded, though.
Yeah, I thought about that, but I just see it being a little bit more deliberate.
Like, I'm just going to get you.
With one of the Lannisters, whether it's Tyrion or Jaime, killing Cersei. Now, if his question is whether or not we can...
Like, basically, does she make it to the end of the show?
Well, I think his question is manifest destiny, can it be avoided, or can it... Is that his question?
Yeah, he's saying, like, could it be a way that the prophecy was wrong?
Mm-hmm. I think it can be.
I don't think so.
But I don't think that's
the point. Yeah, because everything else in that prophecy happened correctly. It's 90% right now.
It kind of goes into something I was going to bring up later on with what some of the things that Bran has seen or maybe misinterpreted. But with this specific prophecy, mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think that it's going to fulfill itself.
I mean, what I feel as far as the prophecy goes is that although it may happen, I don't think it's going to happen intentionally. I think if Jaime kills her, it's not going to be, he's going to make a decision that Cersei has to die. I think he may kill her accidentally in some way. And I think it for a couple reasons. A, because all, like you said, the prophecy is 90% correct so far.
I mean, it got her kids, it got her friend, they said it was going to die like by the end of the day.
Exactly. and at the end of the day, they don't have enough time left in the story that they're going to tell to really change how Jaime feels about her, and I think in a way that will be reasonable to the viewers. So either Tyrion's going to kill her just because out of spite, or because she killed her father, or she still thinks he killed Joffrey, at least at this moment, what we know. Or Jaime kills her mistakenly. She tries to escape. She tries to escape King's Landing after a raid by Dany, and she wears something to make herself inconspicuous. And Jaime stabs that person.
Oh, because he thinks it's somebody else.
Exactly. And then he kills her. I don't think he's going to change how he feels about Cersei to the point where he's going to murder her. Now, I think they're setting us up because in the previous episode when the old chick died. I forgot her name.
Oh, Lady Olenna.
Yeah, Lady Olenna. When she died, she said something like, she tears everything apart that she touches, and she's going to do the same to you. I think that's an allusion to what they're talking about in the prophecy, but I think that the writers are going to give us a way that's going to change that.
Not just directly just walking into her, stabbing
exactly.
her.
I mean, that's a huge leap to make from fucking your sister and having
to
kids
stab her.
That's a huge leap. Like, that is a...
I can still see it happening, though. Because I think that we do see Jaime becoming fearful of her and questioning her goals in life. And I think I said this before, I can see him intentionally killing Cersei to save Tyrion.
But that's the thing, though. From at least my perspective, they had kids together. So I could see it if it was a parental decision that they were making to save or protect one of her kids. But who else? I can't see him loving anyone else in the world that exists right now more than her to the point that he'd kill for that person. Mm-hmm. Even Tyrion, you know, I mean, I can see her trying to, I can see him trying to stop her, grab her, even harm her. But to actually kill her for Tyrion, I think is a leap too far, mm-hmm. considering that Jaime let Tyrion go after he knew he killed his, it was after he knew he killed his father, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
No,
yeah,
he didn't know. He didn't know.
Yeah.
He just let him go in general. He didn't know he killed his father.
Oh, okay.
No. Yeah, I just still see his feelings for Cersei changing. No doubt he still loves her, but Jaime has changed as a character since the beginning of the series. And, I mean, you can even see, in his passion for her, the last time she pretty much had to beg him to have sex with her. You know, he had a bunch of excuses for wanting to get caught and, not being in the mood or whatever. It just kind of seems like his passion for her is kind of dying, too, because he's changing as a person. So I think there are a lot of different factors that play into it. But to answer, I forgot his name already, his question,
Balls Deeper.
Yeah.
No, Balls Deeper. It's Balls Mother Grave.
Sorry, sir.
Emails from Lindsay Clatchett. Keeping on with the same thing with the Jaime situation. She says, wanted to get you all's thoughts on the idea that maybe, what if, this may sound crazy to you all, what if Jaime gets Cersei pregnant again and she dies with child? That would keep the prophecy going, but also would not directly make Jaime the one that killed her directly.
Hmm.
I mean, that's some old...
I mean, I think that's a solid theory, but once again, I think from a timing standpoint,
yeah,
you gotta wait 9 months for a child,
and we have to have a 9 month time skip with 11 episodes left.
All right,
and I think that's a stretch, a bridge too far for me, at least, to think that the writers are gonna give us that much of a time skip just to let that part of the prophecy come through.
Right.
I think it's a legitimate theory if they had 2 or 3 more seasons, but 11 episodes, I think it's a little bit too much to ask.
I second those thoughts.
All right, last one is from P Money. He's a frequent listener. He says, "Hey, what's going on with them sand snakes? Hey, all them kind of bad." This dude's always tripping. He said, "They all kind of bad though, man. Who running Dorne?" And also, my final question: Does the mountain go down there and try to get him some on a low low? Because that queen of Dorne is bad. Love y'all. Show peace.
I agree. I mean, it's some dimes in Dorne.
Yeah, but the zombie's a zombie though. So is not like I Zombie the TV show or like one of them where I need to give me some pussy real quick. Let me go down this dungeon.
I mean, the mountain is raping the chief of the Seven Septons,
but
right?
But to torture her, not because.
Yeah, it's not like it's not like he's like, man, you know what I want to do when I get off. I'm gonna go down to the bottom dungeon and get at.
I want to officially say that I might put myself in the mindset of a rapist, but I'm saying that what we do know about the mouth is that the mouth can get it in.
And he rapes frequently. Yeah, he's a frequent rapist.
So that's very well a possibility, but not because he thinks she's a bad chick,
But she is bad, though, just to touch on
what she is. No, she's beautiful. Yeah. They are all beautiful women.
I like to go kick it for a men's weekend down in Dorne if I get a chance.
Oh, you know what
I
mean?
I mean, that's a good question. Who is running Dorne at this point, and why hasn't somebody just taken it over?
I mean, you got Dorne, the Reach, Storm's End. Like, it's like 3 or 4 different areas that nobody is running in. Mm-hmm. It's just... what it is,
yeah.
People is like, man, dang, man, I'm gonna wait about another month. Somebody's sitting there looking at the castle, like, I'm gonna wait about another month, and nobody go up in there.
Is there any food in Dorne? Since it seems to be an ongoing issue.
Yeah, no, they good. They're good. Just they regular doing their regular stuff in there because they were independent of what everything was going on with Robert's Rebellion. Like they were an independent nation basically, so they had already had their own. They got trade going on with Essos and everything like that. So they good. They are self-contained, situation now. So let's get into the show. What did y'all think so far about everything going on in Winterfell? Bran is up here reading people. Like,
yeah. I mean, is he really that devoid of emotion at this point? Or is he just like, I don't have time for this. I got too much other stuff to deal with,
He's a dude that went to jail for like 20 years for the crime he didn't commit. And he's got to come out and go back in the civil rights movement. Okay. This is like a Black Panther that got locked up, and he got to come back out and keep the movement going. Like, yo, it's bigger than this. I know what we need to do.
Bran is my least favorite character.
Yeah.
I'm not a real huge Bran fan.
I think they're trying to make you deliberately dislike him though.
And but also I don't understand what they're doing with the Three-Eyed Raven. It's like he knows everything that's happened in the past,
But he knows the possibilities of the future, though.
Yeah, so I guess he knows the likelihood of what can happen.
It's like he has all these different... The thing that makes him run crazy is that he has 3, 4, 5 different scenarios in his head going on at the same time. Plus the past, plus the present, plus who Bran was.
Right, and he said that in the last episode. He goes, "I have memories of being Bran."
He had to delete that shit.
Yeah, I have so many other memories of this stuff. But at the end of the day, if he wants certain things to happen, then he still should know that people are driven by emotion. And him being emotionless, yeah. I don't think is the most effective way. Even if he's fiending. I mean, the simple fact is, people fiend emotion all the time. You know, so it's like, I don't see how it serves his purpose by being.
But he doesn't know, though. He's so young getting these powers. You got to think the Thrall Raven just threw it in him, because normally Thrall Raven would have trained him for years to get him right. He just said, all of a sudden, here you go right here, though. That's like somebody giving you a $10 million crib, and you 19, like, do you notice you got to cut the grass, pay the taxes, you know, all these different things going on with it.
But what does
and
that have to do with your emotions?
Yeah, I'm just saying
those different things you don't know about that crib, though. So you don't know that, like, okay, I need to keep my emotions a certain way, but still keep this knowledge.
He he slid up to his sister the first time he saw her. And the first thing he said was how pretty she looked on her wedding night and the night she got raped. I'm saying not say that. Like, just not say that.
I think he wanted to let her know.
No, that, like, I know. Like, I know. It's a weird way. I think he is empathetic in what he's doing, though. It's like he's just not showing the emotion. Like, even with the, like, with him with the thing with Baelish and him, like, saying, like, yeah, chaos is like a ladder. Mm-hmm. He only said it to Varys.
Yeah. Right.
So think about, like,
I'm letting you know.
No, I know what's up. I know you killed my pops.
But think about the conversation he had with Sansa. He made it the point to say how beautiful she looked on her wedding. So it's like, well, why add that thing? I mean, the statement of saying how beautiful she looked is an emotional statement. I mean, it drives a point home that I don't think it necessarily supports the theory that he's being emotionless, because he complimented her when he didn't have to compliment
her. Maybe he thought he was supposed to compliment her, though. Like, I want to make you feel better about the situation. Like,
and then you talk about her rape?
It's like, like, he didn't know. He just said, like, he wants you to know that he saw it.
That I know about it.
You know, like, the whole thing with Baelish, like, Baelish was shook then. He was like, yo. Like,
but that seems strategic to me. That seems strategic to me, because we know Baelish to be a hustler and, you know, and a manipulator.
But he may be being strategic with Sansa, too, because he don't know where she really is. Anyway, I ain't seen you in 5 years.
Right.
So he might be like, yo, I know that you got raped, so don't be playing around with me, jumping with this homeboy or whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. I know you got raped.
But what do they have to do with it? Maybe they'll reveal it. I don't see where acknowledging all the things he talked about that she could have, all the things. My assumption is that he knows everything that happened to her from the time that she left Winterfell to now. So all the things he could have talked to her about her travels to let him know that I understand what your experiences have been, why bring up the rape?
But I think it has to do with Peter Baelish, though. Like, all that's tied back to Peter Baelish, though.
That's true.
Like, if him being like, you know, yeah, I know what's going on, what happened with the Littlefinger thing, though, so I'm figuring this all out right now. You know, I got 15 different mind things going on. I'm going to figure it out in a second. And some week, I'm going to say something to this dude about it. Because if he tells Arya, that's adding to the list. Because he ain't on the list.
He did drop that down about Arya's list, though, didn't he?
Yeah. He was like, you may want to add one. Because, you know, because she only has 4 people left on her list. Mm-hmm. So it's real thin. So she can add another person to this bad boy. You know, and it'd be all good.
Can we recap who those people are?
It's Cersei.
The Hound.
The Mountain.
And the two dudes from Brotherhood of Banners. Because she got mad that they sold Gendry to Melisandre.
Okay.
And Melisandre's on there, too.
Oh, yes, she is.
Yeah. So the two dudes that run Brother, it's more than 4. It's 2 brothers and Banner brothers. The dude that killed her dad, too, though. The executioner dude.
That was the Mountain, I thought.
Mm-mm. It was another dude. The dude that can't talk. That got his tongue cut out. So it's like maybe 7 or 8 people.
Okay. Yeah, she, there's 2 of them she's going to have a real difficult time with.
Cersei.
No, I'm talking about the two cats in the Brotherhood.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think she's going to let them go, though. And I think she's going to let those go, though.
I think she'll let the Hound go, too.
Yeah, I think she kind of not even really mess with them, you know. Cersei is really the key to her whole thing right now. Mm-hmm. So what did y'all think about how kind of Baelish is looking at it? Do you think Baelish is looking like, yo, I might need to ride out to back to the Vale?
Well, I think that there was an interesting exchange between him and Sansa when Arya was out there fighting with Brienne. And I think that the message they both got is that they are at risk. I think Sansa definitely knows she's not as valuable as Arya. Their whole reunion was odd anyway. Yeah.
Like, somebody saw a meme that says, now Sansa realized she's Rickon of the family now.
like the most relevant person in the family. You know, what value does she have? And even Bran acknowledged Arya's value over Sansa when he gave her the sword instead mm-hmm. of, or yeah, the knife, the Valyrian steel knife instead of Sansa. And then she sees how many skills Arya has gained, and whatever plan Littlefinger could possibly have that would involve Arya, he knows is not going to work now because she can whoop his ass.
But Arya don't want nothing to do with them politics, man.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't,
but she could.
See, I don't think so. I think Arya's skill set doesn't lead her to leadership. I think she's much more effective in
assassin,
you know, as a hitter, as somebody that you think is unassuming.
Solo, not even in a team, though. Like, exactly. I just send you out there on a dolo.
Because none of them know about her many-faced god skills either. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure Bran does, but no one else knows about her many-faced god skills. So her being in the public limelight, I don't, it doesn't necessarily lead itself to foster those skills where she, I think, is most effective.
Right.
And I think after the fight with Brienne, she was embarrassed that so many people saw how well she was as a swordsman, or a swordswoman.
I think Brienne knows that she got some training from Braavos too, though,
because mm-hmm.
she was like, "Yo, hold on, man, this ain't no style."
I couldn't tell what Brienne meant by that. I didn't know if she was saying, you know, "Where did you learn that?" And she wanted Arya to be like, "I learned it from you, boo," or she.
I think she's like, "Yo, this is some other style. This ain't Westerosi style." And like this, you doing something different. Like, where you go? Where you been at?
Yeah, I guess my point is that at this point, Littlefinger and Sansa are expecting Jon to come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sansa's position right now is temporary. So once he comes back, what is her place? And what value does she have to add as one of the Stark kids?
I'm hoping that Jon doesn't come back in the way that we expect him to come back.
I don't think he will either.
The trade is going to be him and Danny, and he's going to be Danny's husband on the throne, and then Sansa will truly be the queen of the North.
Yeah, but she doesn't know that at this point. Mm. So I'm just saying, you know, her reaction and what she's thinking at this point, and how I can see her kind of falling into Littlefinger's arms is at this point, she doesn't, you know, she's thinking Jon's going to come back. My brother is a weirdo psychic. My sister is out here with a kill list. You know, where does that leave me once Jon returns?
I really liked Arya and Sansa's reunion. I thought it was much more appropriate
than Bran.
Yeah, I mean, because Bran was disconnected. I think it shows the growth. I think Sansa looked at Bran differently because he was so much younger than her. When the last time they saw mm-hmm. it, and so she had much more of a, for lack of a better word, a maternal instinct about, oh, I'm glad you're safe. But when she saw Arya, they were much more peers, and they were much more competitive. And so that reunion kind of touched upon that competitive nature, you know, that they had previously.
They kind of
picked up. Yeah, it picked up when they left off. Like,
but Arya came in checking Sansa too on a low, if y'all noticed.
I didn't.
When they were talking about her dead dad's sculpture, and they was like, mm-hmm. this don't even look like him.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was like, well, everyone that did is dead. Nah, but we here.
Yeah.
Like, so, bitch, you been here, though. Why you ain't get this changed? That's the way I took it, though. Like, where Arya was coming in like, hold on, man. Like, you been here? How long you been here? And you ain't got our daddy's statue changed right from him dying. You know what he looks like. Why you ain't had somebody redo this?
That's a good point.
Like, that's how I kind of took it. Of like,
but Arya does. I don't think Arya knows about the White Walkers either, because Arya hasn't been in a place where White Walkers were.
Yeah. No, she doesn't know anything.
So
about that.
I mean, that's a legitimate reason why Sansa wasn't worried about.
Yeah, yeah, but she. I'm talking about she's coming in on some like, you know, what's going on up in here? Ain't nobody got no big piece of chicken on the grill type stuff. And it's like, hold on, man, we got to worry about something else here real quick. So what do y'all think Peter Baelish is like backtracking? Like, because
I think he's going to try to figure out something.
He got, because the problem is they need the veil though too. Because remember, not to fast forward to what Jon was saying. Jon was like, we only got 10,000 troops. The only question I had was that including the veil's troops or was that only the North people?
I think it was including the veil because the veil had already been pledged to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't see why he would.
I think that's everybody.
Yeah, I don't think.
Damn, they only got 10,000?
Yeah, it's not enough.
Because it's more than 10,000 Dothraki, ain't it?
That's why I was really surprised. I personally thought there were much more Dothraki and much more Unsullied. than it seemed to
be. I think it's just showing it visually wrong, though, because I think it's going to be like 80,000.
Well, did she take all of them?
No, I don't think she took all of them.
I mean, at this point, I hope she would learn. Don't leave Dragonstone unmanned.
Yeah. They didn't do that. But I still thought it would be more, though. It just seemed like it would be more.
I thought when Tyrion narrated that attack on Casterly Rock, he talked about like maybe 3,000, I think. Or maybe there was 3,000 Lannister or soldiers.
It was 3,000 Lannister soldiers there that was holding it down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was under the impression there were many more Dothraki and many more Unsullied than there was.
Supposed to be a whole bunch. I'm like, but where are they living at, though? Like, yeah. How far, like, 100-some thousand people would be all the way to King's Landing with just this massive people in camps, like, would just...
I also don't like Euron. Like, Euron is a cheat code. Like, whenever there's water available, Euron is there destroying stuff. Like, how the hell would Euron have known that not only are the Unsullied are at Casterly Rock, but their ships are unmanned, and he has enough ships to destroy all of the Unsullied ships? Like, I didn't see.
That was Jaime.
But I'm saying that if Euron, even if he has better ships, there's not a guarantee that 100% of the ships are going to win. What if they fought you a stalemate? What if you got close enough that the Dothraki were able to board your ship? You said the ship.
The whole thing is that he knew Jaime. I think he knew that they knew that they couldn't have the Dothraki take over anywhere on a general scale. Because remember, Robert Baratheon said that he's scared of Dothraki in open warfare. They're not good at urban warfare within, like, buildings and, you know, different things. That's what the Unsullied would be good for. So there's no point in sending the Dothraki in there. That's why she can't take King's Landing right now. Because the Dothraki's not going to be able to take King's Landing. Because they're only good at open field. They can't go in, though. So that's why I think she only... And remember they said that you don't want the Dothraki going into an area where regular people were. And then the savages coming in raping chicks and, you know, that's how they get down.
I get that. I'm talking about specifically the Unsullied at Casterly Rock.
Right.
That Euron shows up and basically Grey Worm, he looks off.
They left the ships, though. It's like a couple of dudes on there. Like, it's like you leaving your boy in the car and then somebody jacking him, but it's five of y'all in the store.
But that's what I'm saying. Every time there's boats involved, Euron is there and Euron...
He got a lot of ships, though. How many ships he had?
But that's my point. How does he have that many ships?
How many ships they said they built, though? Like 1,000 or something?
Yeah, I mean,
so then you split them up, that's 500. Even if you just have them 500 each, that's a lot.
Right, but how many of the Unsullied, all the Unsullied go? I mean, the Dothraki was still...
I think all of the Unsullied.
Right, yeah. So, but that's what I'm saying. How many Unsullied are there? If there are 20,000 Unsullied, mm-hmm. then 20,000 Unsullied, either that's enough ship for 20,000 people, which means that I don't think there's 20,000... Euron has 20,000 people in his fleet.
No, he does not.
So that's what I'm saying. Even if the ships are inferior, you have so many people... Every hit's not going to set the whole ship on fire. Every hit that he makes is not going to...
But I'm saying there's less people even manning them is what I'm saying. Like, it's just two people there instead of 1,000 people that's on a normal ship. They already gone. There's only two people here just sitting there reading the paper. And then they taking over, they burned up the ship.
That's just poor planning. You said 20,000 people there, and you only left 100 people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You only got a couple of cats here on it. All of a sudden, though, they start, he's like, hold on. Did anybody leave the key, leaving the keys in the car? Like, somebody, you told me to go with you. Like, oh, man, you're supposed to stay back. So, let's move forward. Let's go to King's Landing. Cersei makes the deal with the Iron Bank.
Can we go back to Winterfell?
Yeah, go ahead.
Winterfell, real quick, because I wanted to go back to the comment I was making in the beginning. Bran seems surprised to see Arya. He said, "I thought that you were going to King's Landing." So that was kind of part of my question of, did Arya change?
She didn't change part of the future.
Destiny, or did Bran just not see it all?
No, I don't think he can see everything sometimes, and he only sees a certain amount of passages. He may have thought, like, she's going to choose A.
Mm-hmm.
But she ended up choosing C. And he's like, wow.
So is she still going? You know, is my question. Maybe she might be still going.
Yeah, maybe she's right and she just ain't left yet.
Yeah, and she needed to stop in Winterfell to pick up that Valyrian steel sword or knife.
But I thought that when they first showed her, when she disappeared, I thought she left and didn't want to stay. And went to start going to King's Landing. Yeah. Like, she looked around and I thought she thought
John
like...
John isn't there. That's the reason she went back.
And like, I thought... No, I'm talking about when the guys were like, wait here.
Uh-huh.
And I thought she might have been like, and looking around, I was like, she was looking like, this ain't where I'm supposed to be at.
Yeah.
Kind of like how Nymeria was, where like my Nymeria was in love with her, but that's not where she is now.
Right.
And I thought when she turned around, she was gone. I thought that was like, they were going to be like, yeah, your sister was here. I don't know where she went. Mm-hmm. And she just let them whip the King's Landing on anyway.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, she ended up staying. Like, okay. Mm-hmm. When she's like, I know where she at, I was like, oh.
Yeah, so I don't see her staying long, though.
I agree. I don't see her staying long.
You don't think she'll stay till John? Well, we don't know when John may not come back.
Right. Yeah. I think we'll see her maybe in one more episode there, and then she's out. Because she has a mission. She has her kill list. Doesn't seem like Sansa's probably going to be on board with that, so I think she's going to be out.
Well, I don't think... Also, she has a skill set that I don't think Sansa knows about. I mean, the simple fact is, she could walk into King's Landing and look like somebody completely different, you know?
As long as she kills him first, yeah.
So. But, I mean, she's got so many faces already sitting in her bag.
Right.
She could probably... She can go as the wait, you know, wait from the, you know, from when she was in Braavos. Mm-hmm. Right. And nobody would know, and she's like, oh, okay, that's just some woman.
She can go as the... Is that the chick that she
killed? The way.
Yeah, but I'm ready for Bran's storyline to pick up now. Like, go lay at the tree and figure out some more stuff, or, you know, send a raven to Jon to tell him.
Bran all bitter, man. I just need bitter.
I need them to move his story
Did you guys trip off of on the intro when they show the wall now that the sea is frozen over?
Mm-hmm. People are theorizing that they're going to walk over the sea and walk around the wall.
Oh, wow.
Which I think would be...
It'd be a hell of a cheat code, though.
I think so, yeah. It's like, why build this big-ass fucking wall if you know that winter is that vicious when it comes?
And they can just walk right around.
Exactly, yeah. Like, if they do that, I think that's going to be a really, really poor writing component. Like, there has to be a...
That would suck, too, though, because they would just see them just walking right around them, right. Oh no!
Right. And, like, you already know that winters last seasons and years. You know, it's like water freezes. Like, that's the first thing you learn.
We should have put some fire on that water, man. Damn it! So King's Landing, we have Cersei's got the gold back. They said,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. The bank on some, you know, prime mortgage lending, trying to get you to, mad that you're paying something back. Right. That's like the credit company mad when you pay off your credit card. Like, right. Damn. Yeah. Then they try, oh, you sure you don't want to increase your limit? Right. You want to go from $4,000 to $8,000? Like, but the thing that was interesting, I don't know if y'all know, when she said to bring the gold company in, you know, those are Targaryens.
Yeah.
Those are bastard Targaryens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
They're bastard Targaryens that start. And he has a Valyrian steel called Blackfire.
Okay.
But he's dead though. But he passed it down. But no one has seen this sword. Mm. It's called Blackfire. The guy was Bitter Steel is the guy. He was basically one of Aegon's bastard sons. He tried to have a revolt against Aegon. They kicked him out. So basically, what he did is anybody that kicked out at Westeros that wanted to fight, he could pick you up and you could just get paid. Supposedly, Mormont worked in it for a while when he got kicked out. That's what people suspect, that he was working for the gold company for a while. Mm. So that's who she's trying to get. But the problem is that in the books, the gold company allies themselves with Dany. Mm.
Oh.
So I don't know how that's going
to
go.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder how the Iron Bank is going to respond to...
Her paying it off for real?
Well, no. And also to almost losing the gold. And
yeah, and you hear somebody got dragons and look like...
Yeah, like, are we really backing the right woman now?
Yeah, and also, the Iron Bank would hedge their bets. Like, they would invest.
They would both.
Like,
awesome.
Like, in real life.
They're the Koch brothers.
Like, in real life, the bank would hedge their bets.
Yeah, well, because when they started out showing the loot train in the beginning, leaving Highgarden, and then they moved on to the conversation between the Iron Bank guy and Cersei, I was almost suspicious that they were going to rob themselves of the gold.
Oh, you said it come back around to
right.
it.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been funny.
Yeah.
Especially if Bron would have headed in like, hey, check this out, man. I got some good ideas for us to do.
Mm-hmm.
So what do y'all think Cersei is going to... Do you think she's kind of starting to become pig-headed and...
No, I don't. I think that Cersei probably has the clearest strategy out of anybody so far.
I agree.
Until they hear about these dragons, huh?
I mean, the thing is that she's lost so much, she's not emotional about it.
Right.
Mm. And it takes your strategy better when you ain't got no emotion. Yeah.
Right. Like, I even wonder if when she finds out, assuming that Jaime is alive, which I'm sure he is, that Jaime is captured, if she's even going to care. I think she's going to continue on with her plan.
Wow. That's wow. I didn't even think about that. That she'd just be like, oh, okay. Like, if they're trying to trade, like, she's like, I'm trying to trade. Because I was wondering if she's going to try to trade him for Theon's sister.
I don't see because remember happening.
No, I'm saying that Dany would try to offer, saying because remember Theon was like, I just want to get my sister back, remember, when he comes back.
I can see Dany making that offer. I don't see Cersei accepting it.
I don't think Dany... I think Dany thinks that Jaime's dead. I think
they're going to leave and walk away, and then
I think she assumes that Drogon killed Jaime and turned him to ash, and he's just no residual.
Because he just turns up later on, like washes ashore type thing.
Yeah, because they show him sinking to the bottom and they fade to black. So I think the assumption that everyone who saw that saw would be that Jaime's dead. He died.
I don't think Tyrion will make that assumption, though.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm. I mean,
what's possible? So Tyrion had the vantage point to see whether or not he was killed at that point.
Yeah.
So let's go to, before we go to the final big battle, with Dragonstone. Mm-hmm. What did y'all think about her trying to make him take the knee again, though?
Like, right, like, girl, come on. At first I was like, did John run in this cave and draw these little pictures? No, right?
Yeah. I got the same thing. Yeah.
So fresh.
Yeah, that shit look real good.
That look real good, though, man. It ain't got no decay on it, nothing.
Yeah, that shit look mad stick figure at fifth grade.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And
hey, Bravo, let's watch the door.
Does he have a crush on Missandei? He was like, oh, you know who else got a big heart?
Well, you know, it's a whole big old conspiracy now thinking Missandei is the one that's the mole on the inside.
Really?
Why?
Because they're trying to say that Davos is the way he was questioning her, like, about her loyalty to her constantly. Like, so if she just let you just go on your own, you cool with it. Like, all this you cool with.
Well, no, I felt like that whole storyline or that conversation mirrored what was going on with Bronn and Jaime. Where Bronn is like, hey, you know, I've done what I'm supposed to do. Where's my castle?
Yeah.
And he's like, you'll get it when we're done with the war. You know, he's not really free to leave in the way that Missandei is. And I feel like that was kind of a setup to show that Bronn might end up switching sides, especially since Tyrion is his BFF. And, yeah, you know, when they reunite, you know.
I can see Bronn just walking straight over to him, too. Like, not even, I'm talking about, like, after the battle's over, just walking over, like, shit, man, that was a hard one, right?
Right. Bronn is a fucking sales sword.
Yeah.
I didn't
take too much from that conversation between Davos and Missandei.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Y'all think she has a mole on the inside?
I mean, she has to, right?
But I don't think so. I think a lot of it is, like, her ego is a lot of this, though.
Yeah.
She had bad allies. We talked about that before. She had two bad allies.
Yeah, they just made bad moves. I mean,
yeah, they made bad moves. Like, it ain't no plot against it. Y'all was just a bad team. It's like, you looking for the Patriots with the tape recorder, and y'all just bad. Y'all just went good.
And Tyrion's smart, but he's not a military strategist.
Yeah. He's like, living off of Blackwater.
Yeah.
He's living off, it's like a dude that hit the 3-pointer in the game.
And his knowledge of the Lannisters.
Yeah, but he's living off one battle.
Right.
And then does Missandei have enough resources to be a mole? And that way, like, I just can't. I mean, I think she's smart.
I mean, she knows a lot about what's going on at King's Landing because, I mean, I don't know. She's got to know something because she's constantly knowing about what's going on with Slaver's Bay and stuff.
No,
like
I mean, like, but enough resources to communicate with anybody else without getting caught.
Yeah, like, oh, you're talking about a raven or something like that.
Right.
Come up, like, who's that raven coming? What did it say?
Type right.
Thing.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
I don't think so.
I think they were just bad planning, bad everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't even think that there has to be a mole.
And that ego, man, her ego is so ridiculous. Dany's ego is ridiculous, man. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Like, man, like Jon Snow just be looking like, yo, for real?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yo, I just showed you all this shit you didn't even know was in here. You've been here for about a month. You didn't even know this whole thing was here.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, all this dragon glass is in here. And you worried about bending the knee?
And it's interesting because they're in the same position. You know, John is like, I can't come here and do that because my people think that I'm here to do one thing. And so,
on top of that, my people been burned by y'all people.
Right. That's but true. Dany is in the same position. I mean, all of the Dothraki and everybody are following her because she made another promise. You know, so they're in the same position. So I don't really hold her ego against her any more than I would John.
See, I took that scene differently because I thought that was an allusion toward what John said to Mance. Saying that your ego.
That's exactly where it comes from. It's parallel to men's. Parallel to men's.
And so I took it as John saying, yeah, I'm being prideful about bending the knee because of my people doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I don't want to let my ego be the reason why people die. So I thought that was a scene showing her getting through to John saying,
yeah, no, look. I think he's definitely going to be the one to cave. I'm just saying that I don't think that her ego should be held against her.
No, I don't. But I think they have to have some type of tension, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ultimately, everybody's been waiting for this reunion. And if they walked in and they say, oh, it's love at first sight. And they go, oh, yeah, I fucked with you. I just met you.
Like, well, half people are like, oh, you know, they're related. And other people are like, oh, I want them to kiss. Like, how did this show make us comfortable with incest?
Because they start the first episode
with incest. They start us off the bat with it. So we got to come to real early, though.
Yeah. Right.
Like, cousins? Sure, cousins.
Yeah.
Like, cousins loosely related. They haven't seen each other by years. Yeah, sure, why not?
They only had the same color hair.
Right.
You know.
Right.
We got over twins, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, which is the craziest part about it.
Which is so consistently gross, like every time. Like I watched this episode with my father, and then when
I can just imagine the old man just being like, "What the hell is going on with this?"
It's so uncomfortable.
Is that his sister? Can't be his twin sister. All right, let's go to the big battle.
Wait. We didn't talk about the reunion between John and Dion.
Oh, Dion.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
John showed a lot of fucking restraint.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
Well, okay, so he obviously knew Rickon was still alive, so Theon didn't kill Rickon. Does he know that Bran is still alive?
Well, I don't know if Sansa told him that, but that's one thing. We don't know if Sansa told him that.
Mm-hmm. I
hope that he assumed both, because... Right. Because Rickon and Bran were supposed to be together.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, still the gesture is...
My thing is, ain't nobody sitting no Raven, though, or something? Like, hey, yo, both of your brother and your sister are here? Like...
Mm-hmm. I mean, you see, it seems like that would be in a Raven-appropriate situation.
Exactly. Right. Oh, like three or four of them. Like, you know, like...
Exactly.
Like, y'all need to hold it all together to go faster.
What is Sansa doing? Like, come on.
That's that little finger sitting there like, don't believe nobody.
Oh, Lord.
You know, fuck bitches, get the money.
Oh goodness! I mean,
the thing is, I like Littlefinger. I like his hustle. I respect his hustle.
I do, man. Like, but he's so bent into the corner though. He's pinned in the corner though, man. He got it. And a part of me think that he ain't gonna die though, and he just gonna kind of acquiesce just sit in the background, just like, well, shit, man, I got the veil, and there's always be a lumen where you think he gonna be up to something.
I'm gonna be very disappointed if Varys and or Littlefinger dies. Like, I think both of them. I think
Varys is gonna die.
I think what they sold us, on that they are so much survivors that if they don't survive, I'm gonna be shocked and unpleasantly shocked.
Yeah, because they're the true story of nothing or something besides Jon Snow.
Right.
Even more than Jon Snow, if you wanna be honest. Because neither one of them are noble. At least Jon Snow had nobility blood, half, even if he was a bastard, had half nobility.
And he has true nobility blood. Yeah. Like his backstory is that we only think
Varys
he has
got nobility. His dick cut off and thrown in the fire and ended up getting there on the fucking council of King's Landing. Like, what?
Right.
Peter Baelish the same way. He was running a whorehouse.
Exactly.
And was just fawning after Catelyn Stark. Catelyn Stark.
He is quite literally the pimp of Game
of Thrones. Yeah, literally. Both of them, they're showing that nothing is something. I mean, man. So let's get to this battle, man.
Yeah. It was interesting because it's like I wasn't rooting for anybody to win or wanting either of them to lose.
Yeah. You wanted to be kind of like this.
You're so invested in both characters. Like, you just really want to see a good fight.
Jamie is so ride of a die, man.
Yeah.
He's Tasha from Power, man.
Don't say nothing about Power. I haven't watched it this week.
No. I'm just saying in general. Okay. I'm talking his general personality.
Okay.
Like, he's riding for somebody that kind of just with them. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, you've been there. Mm-hmm. He in love, she in loyalty.
Yeah, I mean, I love the old Western parallels that they went through.
That's real talk. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
I was ready for somebody to pull out a six shooter.
Yeah, like the movie Shane.
They literally circled the wagons. You know,
yeah.
The Dothraki come in like Indians, you know what I'm saying, on horseback. And then there's that dragon, like, oh, yeah, no, this is not what.
This is not and look, and Bron is, about that life. He like, yo, roll out right now. Like, look, we ain't going to win this. Mm-hmm. And Jaime's still thinking optimistically, we can hold him. Hold him for what, though?
Also, that was the head on the swivel move of the show. Like, hold up. They was talking about complete bullshit. He goes, hold up, you hear that? Like, that's
Bron heard it first, though.
That's somebody.
Bron is your homeboy that start running, and like, when you out somewhere in public, and you just see him running, like, oh man, if he running, we all running.
And Bron definitely got the head on the swivel award for this last episode. Like,
yeah, I think Jamie legitimately did not know what to do, though, especially when that dragon came falling up there.
I mean, dude, that's just like everybody was sitting there looking like, yo,
right. We heard about it, but.
Also, your mans was shook. Like, all of them. Like, when you see a dragon in the sky, you're like, yeah, y'all ain't pay me enough for this.
Yeah. Like, I know the nuns just pay their debts, man, but man, right. this is, you can't pay me enough for this.
Right.
Why didn't Danny have on some armor, though?
Why didn't she?
Yeah, like,
she
girl.
She cocky, man. She ain't been fitted in the armor.
I mean, even Dragon needs some armor.
It's like when we were talking about earlier about a situation, like, if your significant other got in some trouble, you just jump in the car, though. Ain't like, you just gonna think about, like, man, I need to put on a bulletproof vest. You was gonna go out and ride out on him. That's how she probably felt. Like, I'm gonna just get on. I'm Drogon.
let's go. I'm just going to jump on you. We going to ride out.
But the thing is, though, Dany's been in a situation where she's been with Drogon, and people with spears, at least, I mean, they didn't kill him, but they put him in a situation where...
And they hit him with a lot of spears, too, in that battle.
So I'm saying her assumption going into battle that nothing anyone had could hurt this dragon. Yeah. I think it was a
But
it was
they
a
can
pretty,
hurt her.
Right, but her, but also the dragons. Like, the simple fact is, we thought dragons were extinct not because they died off by disease, because people fucking killed them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, so, yeah. I mean, that technology has existed to kill dragons. Like,
yeah.
It's the thing, though. So, like, when you saw that, like, Drogon is fucking humongous, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's fucking this big. Like.
Also, she played herself. She should have brought all of them. Like.
No, but I think that was the thing. That was a conversation with John, though, where he's like, you cannot annihilate. Right. Like, she just went in kind of like a little sneak attack. Like, that's why she didn't bring all the Dothraki, everything, though. Like, it wasn't annihilation, because you don't want them to know everything you're doing.
See, but that's why I saw that scene differently. I thought taking King's Landing using the dragons, I thought that's what Jon was talking about. Catching the Lannisters in an empty field coming back from battle. One dragon
and your Dothraki
dragons.
Are the best in open field, yeah. So you already got an advantage there.
Well, that's true, but also you could have had three dragons
dented
that whole
situation. But it ended up helping her out now, because now she knows they got those scorpions.
Yeah.
Well, and are the other two ready? I mean, Drogon has been flying around forever. Like,
yeah, I mean, he's been eating, living, fucking, doing
everything. So that's a question.
Why put all three of them at risk for a small battle?
But is that due to Drogon being free? So is it like if they eat, the more they eat?
Yeah, because they were in the pit. They were in the, up under the thing. So it's like if you just and you can't grow taller and get bigger because you're limited with the size. Habitat wise, your body is like, okay, I can't grow no bigger than this because I don't want to.
So do we think that ship has sailed? Can they get bigger?
Yeah, they can get bigger. They can get bigger. Yeah, it's just that they're stunted a little bit lower. Drogon was just out there just eating. He's eating whatever and just getting bigger. It's like a dude
experience
like
experience in life.
Yeah, he know how to fight and do all kinds of stuff. He's been killing people. They've been, you know, they've been playing around blowing up stuff, but they ain't really because when everything went down when they fought the Slaver's Bay, did all three of them was involved? Was it just Drogon?
I thought all three of them were there.
All three were.
Okay, yeah. But Drogon was probably putting in the most work, and they was like, but now she knows, this is not thing, though, with, now the scorpion, we know that it'll hurt. Now you gotta have a direct fucking shot. You know how hard it's gonna have to be? Like, you have to get them in the head. But so, the only other question is, do you now poison the tips maybe now?
I mean, that's possible. But also, Dany was being a bad, she was being a bad pilot, because, yeah. I mean, veer left or right, like why
going directly to a scorpion? Yeah.
First off, a dragon should never fly in a straight line. Like that shit should always be.
I think she thought it was invisible. I think she thought it was gonna be like a regular spear that just you got to think she's got depth perception though too, because she's so high up. She doesn't know
she
that this is
the
a big,
first one though. Exactly.
Oh, that's right, because exactly. The next one it went past her though, right? Exactly. So she is just being a dumbass then. Mm-hmm. You're right. She is just being a dumbass. And that's that ego would hurt, old man. Like, it seems like she has not learned from her ego yet of just thinking, I'm just going to run over shit.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, that's I think the writers are giving us a character that is less, we've been rooting for her for 7 seasons. And, you know, she's been the underdog. And now that she's not, they're trying to show that she's maybe power hungry or maybe more like her father than we thought initially.
Try to
give you some doubt or some conflict. Yeah. But the simple fact is, I don't think the story that they're telling is reasonable that she become that person that quickly, not having taken the Iron Throne.
Yet. Not sitting there, doing nothing.
I mean, she's become powerful by being a unifying character, and she's not unified people by force. She's unified people by her ability to improve their situation. And so, having Tyrion have to tell her, give her something. The simple fact is, she got the Unsullied not because she bought them, because she freed them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like,
well,
so.
I do think her personality took a noticeable turn when she went back to the Dothraki and had to convince them to come with her again.
Yeah,
but she convinced them. What she didn't do is show up with fucking dragons. Like,
yeah.
So this is not thing with the Tarleys. I think that the Tarleys are going to actually join her fully. I think Dickon is.
Were they gone?
I think, no, they were there.
Well, okay, I couldn't tell if they had left before.
No, they were there because remember Dickon.
Well, Dickon, I know, was there.
Yeah,
but...
and the other one was. I think he's dead, and I think that makes
Samwell's father.
I think Samwell's father may be dead.
Okay,
and that's what makes Dickon the leader of the Tarly family. And And you already saw the dissension in his heart, though, when remember he was talking, was it Bron he was talking to, or were we talking to Jamie?
Jamie.
About, and he's like, dude, those are my boys. Like, I used to kick it with them. I have no problem with fighting. He was like, this your first battle or whatever? He's like, yeah, but it was the dudes I was killing. I ain't got no problem murking nobody. It was the fact that these dudes were my people. We were bannermen with them. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if he was already not feeling doing that period in general and just following behind his dad.
No, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
And that's why they kind of highlighted him and having that story, or he's a red shirt. I don't know. Whichever. Either we either get to get compassion from him and then he dies, or
great reference.
Yeah. So, or we gonna get that something about him like where he's like, yo, no, we gonna join your side. I wasn't feeling this coming in there anyway, and taking that. I was following my dad, and my dad's dead now. So Tully family is gonna honor what the Tullys. Olenia and them, I can't remember, they always tease, man.
I know.
We're going to honor that and follow behind. Now, you got dragons and that. You
think Sam could influence this decision?
100%. But it's weird, though, because I think he's probably a dick to Sam because his dad's a dick to Sam. Because you got to think, the only reason Sam took the black is because his daddy thought he was a bitch and didn't want him to inherit and none of his stuff.
Well, for the record, he is a bitch.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
He is.
You're 100% correct.
He just has a different skill set.
Yeah, see, he is. But, you know, but Dick Honor ain't all, he up here in shell shock.
Yeah, I mean, for real, their father has balls. Their father has balls of steel. Like, I don't know how he raised those two particular sons. Like,
he wasn't at home much. They with their mama.
But the thing was, though, is that, you know, he fall on the side of Rhaegar.
Who?
Tarly did.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's a whole nother thing, though, is it's like, and that was interesting to me, why he would even take up Jaime and him on that, like, I never fuck with Cersei. And
but he did that reluctantly, though.
Yeah, I know, and yeah. That's why I'm wondering if it's going to be easy to pick off Dickon to get them involved.
That's true.
Because it was like, and
They didn't really seem like they were really... They did it out of choice. They did it out of force.
Yeah, because Jamie was looking like, you going to make it about this motherfucker without telling me yes?
Yeah, because he actually said, I appreciate you taking the queen's request. He goes, yeah, I know what she does to people who don't.
Yeah, and he was like, well, I got to go. He's like, no. He's like, I got to go get my truce break. You need to let me know what's going on first before you go back. Mm-hmm. And that's when there's that little cliffhanger about, you know, how it was going to go.
Yeah, Tyrion's reaction to what was
What y'all think about Tyrion sitting there doing a play-by-play call of the battle?
I thought it was a really well-executed scene. I thought it showed his conflict because he loves his brother.
Yeah.
He loves his brother, and it became real to him. It's one thing to say, you know, agnostically, I'm going to take over Castle Rock where only, I guess, fringe family exists, and we have a plan to take it over to minimize bloodshed because I have this backdoor entrance. It's quite another to see your brother, your actual brother, who you love, be in conflict and possibly murdered by a dragon, being burned alive. I thought that shit made it really real for him.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately those feelings and sentiments are going to end up with him no longer being the Hand. I think Gerard will come back.
Oh,
and become the Hand
as
the military strategist. And we saw the division between Dany and what Tyrion's strategy would be, so she doesn't necessarily...
Mormont's going to come back in and take the Hand of the King.
She doesn't trust him as much, and she doesn't feel like he's as capable, considering some of the defeats they take. And I think he's going to...
I was actually wondering, if this would be a long shot, if the person that saved Jaime was Jorah. It seems a little too obvious for it to be Rickon or... Bron. Plus, he seemed like he was too far away, and I think they intentionally left his face covered. But it would be a long shot for Jorah to end up right where he needs to be. I could see him pushing Jaime either one because he thought that he could have gotten a shot at Dany.
Oh, wow!
Or because he thinks that they can use him in some way.
That would be amazing. I didn't think about that, but I hope
that would be amazing. That would be amazing if that was Jorah.
Yeah, I hope. I do hope
because he didn't think in the way like that I would think Rickon would have because he had on the armor too, and then I think Bronn was too far away.
Yeah, if that's the case, I never thought of that. But
they showed Jaime sinking and somebody else.
Yeah, this floating kind of top.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Actually,
that's it, man. That would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
And now you know what? Dane Jorah is going to end up being the Hand. That makes 100% sense, though.
Yeah, I mean,
because he's got other stuff to do with to get his family back right.
Exactly.
Because you could see him being the head of Castle Rock, maybe, or you know, mm-hmm. getting his family back right and being, you know.
And also, he's a military strategist. It's one thing. We assume that Dani had the not the power, but she had the advantage because of the numbers that she mm-hmm. had. But she's taken a couple defeats now, so now she actually needs somebody with military strategy.
They better be strategizing and moving around. Yeah, because the North ain't going to be able to give him no troops. He's like, you said, he only got 10,000.
Exactly. And he has other things to face. I mean, even at a minimum, what he's not going to do is abandon the North after getting all his bad men together to fight with the Wildlands because of the threat of the White Walkers. They're not going to say, okay, well, now we're going to go back south to handle this business
again. And then have to go back up this way. They're not going to do that. Yeah, they're going to have to get some more troops, man, because... I mean, does it go back to the original Tyrion's plan of starving out King's Landing since they killed all that grain off?
Well, I don't think the plan was to starve out King's Landing.
He said like to starve out and blockade them. That was the original plan.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So does that get that back in order of like.
I would hope. I would hope that King's Landing could eat besides what they stole from Olenia.
But they didn't. No, that was it. They burned it up.
That's why I was asking if there was food in Dorne. Like, somebody go get some.
Right, but I'm saying, but King's Landing, I mean, King's Landing, as of this moment, King's Landing should still be able to get food to King's Landing from the north. Not necessarily as far north as Winterfell.
But somewhere else. But the thing about Visa Dorothy Horde is roaming around the whole area, just doing whatever. We raping chicks. We doing whatever out here, though. You come through, you might get fucked up.
I'm so mad that this show has made us so comfortable with
people being raped.
Yeah, we're raping incest. It's like we just throw raping incest around. Like, oh yeah.
Hold on, so you just pause it. I think that might be Bronn though.
It doesn't look like Bronn. Watch.
Also, Bronn just had her last couple like to have this much
energy. All the way on the other side of the field.
Yeah, and to chase down a cat, like to see a guy with the spear on a horse, and after he almost got killed by a dragon, like that's a lot of recovery.
Watch this again and look at it with an eye of thinking it could be Jorah. See, this is
no, that's Bronn. You can tell it's about the hair.
Are you sure?
You can tell, but dang, see, he's got bad hair too, though. He's got receding hair too, though. Jorah Mormont has receding hair too, though.
No, I don't know, but because I'm
go back, ready. Go back. You know, that might be Jorah's clothes because he wears gold clothes.
Yeah.
Go back to them sinking.
No, when they first hit the water, stop right.
Yeah, that's what, right when they're sinking down.
I'm really hoping for your.
That would be a great situation. I'm really hoping for your outcome. If that was George, that would be great.
If any HBO writers are listening to this right now, man. please change it to what she said.
Yeah, because that would be a great flip on it. That'd be a great flip on it.
Right there. Like that does not look like armor.
Yeah. I think it is. I think more than likely it's Bronn, but
it could be
Ser Jorah. But why would he even know about that bat? Like
that's what I'm saying. It's a long shot for him to be there, and then like right there at that moment. But
well, where's the Citadel? Can we look it up on a map and see where it is?
It's close to where the Tarleys are. So you know, dang it, man, that ain't that far. Because
Tarleys get there, he walked. But that's just.
Cats get horses seen randomly now. Hold on.
I mean, considering how they do the Euron time skip and time travel, then it would be the strangest thing they've done. Euron, last time we saw Euron, he was dropping chicks. He was dropping the Dornish chicks off at King's Landing, and all of a sudden he shows up at Castle Rock. That's the hell of a thing.
All right, it's next to. The Reach. Oh, wow. It's right next to the Reach. Damn, Raven. It's right next to the Reach where they're at.
That would be a hell of a story, a plot twist.
It's right next to the Reach because it's an old town where the Tarleys live at. Wow, that's right. He would be in the area then.
Yeah, that's a good call, Raven. That's gangster.
Wow, he would be in that area. Now that's wow. So you thinking that he's thinking if so? Okay, so Jorah Mormont's his motives would be why would his motives be saving Jaime then?
Well, like you said, I mean,
oh, maybe he was saving
Yeah.
Thinking he didn't, he just thought that I'm saving Daenerys from being killed. He wasn't even thinking about the dragon at all. Because I, mean, I don't think Jaime was going after. Do you think Jaime's going after the dragon or he's going after Daenerys?
No, he's going after Daenerys. But I'm saying that, that he could have seen Daenerys in threat, and he could perceive it as a threat, and then did it because of that reason. He also could have seen known that Drogon wouldn't let anything happen to Daenerys, but thought that Jaime would be a valuable prisoner. Because simple fact is, at this point, Jaime is the most valuable prisoner anyone has. You know, particularly for Cersei.
Yeah. Because so, she's done for when it comes to battle plan.
Yeah, exactly. But it could have been his initial goal was to save Dany, because the dragon could have killed him, and he still could have killed Dany. I mean, that could have happened since she was standing right in front of the dragon. So, and then he can now see that Jaime would make a good prisoner.
Also, my question is, quite honestly, I mean, it was a compelling scene, and I liked it, and I enjoyed it, but there's no way Jaime makes that decision in real life. Like, because he's still standing next to a wounded but not dead dragon. Mm-hmm. So even if he impales Dany, he impales Dany. He would sacrifice his life effectively to kill Dany, but that still doesn't secure Cersei's spot on the throne.
Because that dragon is still there.
And now Cersei has literally no one that she can trust around her besides the mountain. And, you know, so.
And he's her personal guard, he's her personal bodyguard.
So and he's her military strategist.
I mean, Euron, she got Euron still.
She don't trust Euron.
But he said he gonna lay that pipe.
But she don't like, but right, Euron said he gonna lay that pipe, but then she went and got the pipe laid by her brother right afterwards. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Like, I thought it was a compelling scene. I didn't think it made any sense from Jaime's perspective why he would make that decision. Because it's not like killing Dany would immediately just, like, if Dany died, it wouldn't be, people would say, oh, it's either Dany or Cersei's. It's not like an election. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like, like an election. Like, Trump died and all of a sudden we all gonna vote for Hillary Clinton because that's the only other option. It's like.
But I think that's who Jaime is. Like, he's willing to sacrifice himself.
That's
now.
What I was wondering.
Like,
he's the Tasha of Game of Thrones.
And not even necessarily for Cersei specifically, but I think he takes his job seriously as commander. I mean, even when Bronn told him, like, you need to leave, he's like, I'm not leaving my men.
Yeah, but he don't even know them cats for real, probably. Yeah.
But that was still...
he can't remember Dicon's name.
Dickon.
Yeah, what did he call him?
Rickon.
Yeah, he called him Rickon. Yeah.
Which was... I was wondering why he called him Rickon, though.
Because he didn't give a fuck.
I know, but I'm saying, like, he knows that... Does he know that...
I mean, a lot of people got the same name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember all these motherfuckers' name either, and I read the books.
Yeah, it's so much.
And they're so close to each other.
Yeah, Rickon and Dickon. Yeah, and then Bronn is all being a dick, looking
Bronn
over
and
like.
Bran,
hey, yeah.
Masande, Melisandre.
Who the fuck are you people?
where Leon at?
Leon.
This is Leon. This is a brother with the rib truck.
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly one of the Unsullied named Leon. At least
right. Yeah, and with the rib truck and he rocks double swords.
Hey.
But on a funny note, did you all read that Jon Snow's cape, which we were talking about last week, is made out of IKEA rugs?
No.
Shut up.
Yeah, the costume designer said that his cape is made out of IKEA rugs.
Shit, I didn't go to IKEA.
That's why I was like, yo. I was telling my wife, I was like, yo. That's what I want for Christmas is a doggone a Jon Snow.
Be fly for Halloween.
Yo.
Yep. So get you some IKEA rugs. They said they spent their budget on the dragons.
Yeah, I know they spent. That's why we ain't seen no direwolves for real either.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Ghost is supposed to be with him right now.
Yeah.
At Dragonstone, he's supposed to be with him because he goes everywhere when he's like his personal valet. Like he with him. They ain't got no money to show him because they did a hell of a scene. And shout out to the director, man. He's a director from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. He's usually a comedic director.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we got a situation like the Russo brothers where they're doing some action and they came from comedy and, you know. So he's doing the next episode, too. So let's go with predictions for next episode. Any deaths we see next episode.
Oh, man.
That's look, Raven, you might have broke the whole internet with that whole Jorah Mormont thing.
Yeah, I know, right? It's fucking my whole head up, right?
Yeah, you might have broke the whole internet with
that. Well, why else would they keep the face of who saved him concealed? Like, what would the point be?
I mean, I'm with
you. No,
him.
No, we don't.
I'm with
him. You ain't got... Look, we done bought our tickets. Like, we're on the train with you.
Yeah.
We are on the train with you. Like, man, that is
it fucked my whole shit up.
Yeah, damn. I don't even know nobody gonna die next episode. Jorah Mormont thing of cloud everything.
Did anybody valuable die this week or anybody we really care about?
I mean, I think that the old Charlie might have died. We don't know if he
died. We didn't see it. Yeah, I feel like that's something they would show us.
Yeah. Well, we know the sand sister.
They said they're not coming back at all. She said
that's
that.
What I said. That's what I said last week. So we knew that last week.
Yeah, but I didn't know. I remember we thought we might see it, but she said that that's the last episode she's supposed to be before. But they be lying about that stuff too, though. So.
That's true.
The dude that played.
I think Arya's gonna kill somebody next week.
Yeah. I don't know if it's gonna be anybody significant.
Maybe I think just somebody random.
Because I think she needs to get into King's Landing.
See, I think she's gonna make a run on Littlefinger. Like the way she looks.
I actually see him
making it. I can see him making it to the whole show.
I want him to, but I didn't like the way she looked at him after she battled Brienne. Like, I didn't like the way she looked at him. She looked up and, you know, she's not...
Like, I might put you on my list.
She's not the most forgiving of people.
Now, this is a twisted thought, though. What if Littlefinger could get her to kill the regent of the Vale for him?
I mean, that'd be a hell of a thing. I don't see how, though.
Because she can sneak in there as anybody's face,
but
though, and kill
him. Remember the things that happened?
He can run the whole thing.
She has a mission, though.
But remember when she found out Littlefinger was there, she would look perplexed.
And then
when the first time she saw him was when he was standing with Sansa, and she looked pissed.
Yeah.
So, they don't have enough episodes left for Littlefinger to gain Arya's trust.
That's true. Okay. You're right. There you go. You're right. That's a great answer. None of episodes. So no deaths. Do we see any deaths? A minimal person for Arya, like a minimal.
I would say Littlefinger. If I'm gonna go for a shocker, Arya kills Littlefinger.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I see him making it all the way to the end.
I was just saying, I can see just because the world is worse like that. A motherfucker like him will make it to the end.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I want him to. That's my desire. But if I have to do some predictions, I would say that they're leading us to say that Arya is gonna at least make an attempt, maybe. Maybe she's not successful, but she attempts to kill him, and then maybe that's how he leaves, or maybe it sets up a situation where he betrays the Starks for Cersei and becomes a mole or something. But I think that Arya's gonna make a run at Littlefinger.
Mm-hmm. Maybe making a run at. I could see if Littlefinger were to die, I definitely see Arya doing it and maybe using him to figure out what Sansa's goals are. But then I don't see Arya going that far off of her plan.
But Arya can kill him, though, and use his face, though. And keep the Vale involved, though, and be like, yeah, we all good. Like,
yeah.
And just keep the Vale involved.
And that'd be the most gangster of shits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just keep the Vale, the auto Vale cavalry there.
How long are faces good for?
Forever.
I know, they were hanging them up on the wall. Yeah, right. Hanging them out like clothes.
You can take them, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They like wigs. Like, why don't you just brush them and take care of them, I'm assuming, and, you know, upkeep.
Your knowledge of wig maintenance is disturbing at this point.
Oh, man.
I mean, I see the Hound coming back, so maybe something with
with the Brother of the Banners.
Yeah, maybe somebody there. Gendry is coming back, too.
Yeah, we know Gendry's coming back.
Is it Gendry or Gendry?
It's Gendry.
Gendry, okay. Mm-hmm. We know he's coming back. So I could see him coming back and dying. But I don't know if that would all happen in one episode.
Yeah, that wouldn't get Sansa. I mean, not Sansa. Arya, no. Arya's got to see him at least.
Because that's her man, you know. Well, I mean, isn't he supposed to help? Our theory is that he's going to help out a Dragonstone somehow. Where is he, though? I can't even remember.
He's supposed to be in King's Landing.
Okay.
He's in King's Landing.
Just hiding out.
Mm-hmm. Hiding from everybody. Okay. Yeah, scared as a motherfucker. Is anybody going to figure out who he is any day? Because all his heirs supposed to be dead. Then he's got the Baratheon. Maybe he's a little bit more lax because he probably heard of Stannis Baratheon got killed. But he still know that Red Priest is out there, so he's still scared of her. You know,
as he should be.
Yeah, as he should be. Because she, 2,000 years old or something, you know. So, all right, let's get wrapping on up. Any more thoughts before we get on it?
How many more episodes do we have left?
11.
This season?
Oh, no.
Three?
Yeah.
Three? Okay.
At best. There were 8 this season and then 7 next season.
Yeah.
Or the opposite.
Damn, Raven, you broke the internet with that fucking Jorah Mormont, man.
We'll see if
that's going to fuck me up, man.
Yeah.
You're going to have me on the home at the crib, laying in the bed, Googling and shit like
that. Yeah, I just came up with this when I was watching.
I wonder if anybody's even thought of that shit, though, because so I've not read anything anywhere thinking about that.
Yeah, damn. That fucked the whole game up.
And it's right, the reach is right there, though. Like, right next to where he's at.
And now I'm going to for real be mad if it's not him.
No, exactly. It's going to be even more mad if it's not him.
So Sorry for the blue balls, y'all.
That's a whole nother conversation. But thank y'all for listening as always. We will be back next week. Peace.